Good evening, dear friends, and I bring greetings to you in the precious and most wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord, all the way from India. And I'm so privileged to be in the Revival Church here. I'm so thankful to the Lord for bringing me here and for this time of meeting friends here. We are all just part of a family, and I just thank and praise the Lord that Jesus as our Father, He's our Father of people here in, not just in Australia, but people there in India too. And we just thank and praise God for this wonderful time which the Lord has given that we all could meet together. And I'm so thankful to Pastor Timothy also for inviting and to be part of this Wednesday worship. And as I look back, it was a Wednesday Bible study group which started in my very sitting room way back in the 1980s. And my father was the one who was quite instrumental in that little Bible study group. And we used to meet as a very small number of people, just like as we are here today. And it was that little Wednesday Bible study group which we just, well, the Lord put in the hearts and the burden in the hearts of people who used to come into that Bible study group, not only to limit ourselves in the four walls of that sitting room, but to go out and reach out to the people who need Jesus. You know, the country of India, from where I come from, it's one of the largest populated country in the world. And the place where I come from, that's North India. The whole of India is just about has 2.5% Christians. But in the state from where I come from, that is the state of UP, Uttar Pradesh. There, the percentage of Christians is just about 0.5%. Just 0.5% Christians. And there were so many people coming all over from the world to reach out to people in North India and into Nepal and all the other neighboring countries. And the Lord put the burden in our hearts that even we need to be burdened to reach out with that great command of the Lord, when the Lord said, go and reach out. Give my gospel unto every person. And that little Bible study group evolved into the organization known as Association for Revival and Missions, of which my father was the pioneer. And it was that little burden, but I was not really involved in that ministry. It was only in the year 2000 when I was involved with a non-government organization, that is a social development organization in UK, where the headquarters were in UK, but I was in India. And I was working in that organization that in the year 1999-2000, when the Lord put this burden and told me directly that go and reach out to my people. Go and reach out to people, not just my people, but go and reach out to people with the word. And it was then that, heeding to the call of the Lord, I resigned from that organization and I came into full-time ministry of reaching out to people with the gospel. Now, this organization which we are running, it's a twofold ministry. It's a missionary movement which all started from my place and which reaches out into the whole of North India, into Nepal, into the country of Nepal, into the country of Bhutan, and into the peripheral areas of Bangladesh. You know, people there, there are innumerable people even now who have not even heard the name of Jesus. There are people, there are places. People have not, they have not even once known who Jesus is. And it is to those people whom we earmark and we reach out as a team by sending missionaries, by sending people into areas, by relating with the people and giving them the precious word of the Lord, so that, as the Lord said, it is His heart's desire, the Lord's desire, that all be saved. And with this great burden in our hearts, today we have been going around reaching out to people in North India, in Nepal, in the country of Bhutan, which is a closed country. You must have heard so much of Bhutan. Bhutan is a closed country for the gospel. You just cannot go and preach. You cannot even carry the word of God with you. It is a closed country. There are no churches in Bhutan. You cannot make any church. Nepal is opening up. But still, I want to tell you, dear friends, there is so much of opposition. There is so much of blockage still to reach out with the word in these countries. But we, as His laborers, His servants, go to reach out to these people with a burden, so that all be saved for Jesus, so that this gospel be reached unto everyone. As the name suggests, ARM is, it's a Association for Revival and Missions. It's a twofold ministry of missions, reaching out unto the unreached, who people who have not even heard the name of Jesus even once. And the second part is the revival part, which is revival in the existing churches, and revival especially among the young people. So every year, we take about three groups of about 15 to 20 young people with us into the mission fields all over, into Nepal, into Bhutan, into the northern part of India, into the northeastern part of India. We take this young group of young people so that they may also be burdened to reach out. We, as people who are aging, a time may come when we may not be capable enough of going and reaching the word to people, but these are the young people who need to be burdened. And so we are into hands-on training for these young people to go and to reach out. These young people come from all churches, all denominations. We work with all the denominations, not just limiting ourselves to one. I would like to encourage you, dear friends. You can be a partaker and shareholder also into the work in which we are doing. There are three ways in which you can be a shareholder or a partaker. One is, the first and the foremost and the most essential, and which I think every one of us can do. If you can spend just about a minute when you pray, pray that the Lord may open more doors, that the Lord may send out more laborers, because the coming of the Lord is very, very near. Please pray that the Lord may send more laborers into the fields, into places where the harvest is ready. by God's grace, from the time this organization, we started working, we have been able to plant about more than 350 churches all over North India, into Nepal, into Bhutan, and into the northeastern states of India. Please pray the Lord may send more laborers into the field. Give a minute of your time to pray, so that in all these areas which are closed areas for the gospel, where there is so much of persecution, so many places I have been where I have been threatened that if you come next time, you'll be killed. Threatened to the extent you please get out from here as soon as possible, or else we kill you. But it's only the grace of the Lord which has kept us still going. Please pray. Somebody was telling as soon as we entered that we have not gone to India. I think Brother Evan has never been to India. I will encourage you, come as a mission trip. Make a mission trip into India, into North India. Come to the places. See how the gospel is being reached there. Be a partaker of that. Go as a missionary from this church, from the Revival Church of Melbourne. Send people. And you can also be a shareholder and partaker by giving whatever the Lord puts into your heart. You can give for the work. And I must really thank you for giving your ear, Lord, at this time. And God bless you all. Kindly pray for the work of the organization and the work which we are doing. It's not really an organization. It's a movement. A movement where we are just going, taking the word unto the people who are lost. You can be a partaker and a shareholder. Before I share something from the word, let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And dear Holy Spirit, we thank you that thou art present in our midst. Thank you, dear God, for this time which you have given to us in your presence. And dear Lord, even as I stand to give your holy word unto your people, Lord, I pray you make me holy first, that I may be able, and I may be able to dare to give your word unto your people. Cleanse me, Lord. This is your time, Holy Spirit. Speak unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. If we look into Matthew chapter 19, from verse 16 through the verse 22, Matthew chapter 19, from verse 16 to 22, it gives an account of a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and who asks him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" The great question about life is how to get eternal life. It is for this eternal life that the whole world today is running to and fro. In India, we have almost all religions. You name it, and that religion is there. There are Hindus, there are Muslims, there are Sikhs, there are Parsis, there are Zoroastrians, there are Jainis, there are Buddhists. You just name it, and those people are there. And everyone is aiming at just one thing, and that is how to get eternal life. And even here we see a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, "Master, good teacher, what do I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus had something to tell him. And he says, Jesus said, in verse 18 it says, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." These are all the Ten Commandments which the Lord spoke to that rich young ruler. He was rich. He was young and strong, full of energy, full of airs about him probably. And with great pride he comes and asks Jesus, "What shall I do to have eternal life?" And when Jesus tells him this, he says, "All these things I already do." Verse 20 says, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Probably, if we reflect it back into our lives today, even we may also have this same answer. If today Jesus was here, and he would have been here, and we would have been asking him, "Jesus, what do I do to get eternal life?" And if Jesus says, "You follow the Ten Commandments," and we would all come out with the same answer. "Yes, Lord, we are doing. We are already keeping all these Ten Commandments. What more?" And there is something which Jesus adds. He says in verse 21, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." This rich young ruler had all the airs about him. He knew what he was doing. It was a kind of a test which he was taking of Jesus probably. And he comes and asks him, and Jesus tells him, and he says yes. But when Jesus tells him, "You go, what you have, the riches what you have, the pride of life what you have, just give it away. Come, forsake everything. Come, follow me." And then we see that the rich or young ruler, he became extremely sad. The possessions of life, every good thing of this life which he had, oh, he was so proud of it. But when Jesus says, "You cast it all away, come, follow me," probably that was those idols which he had all around him. But Jesus says, "You cast it all away. Come to me." But he felt so sad, and the Bible says he went away. And then something more happens. Verse 23 onwards, It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle. My dear friends, dear people of God, there is one thing here which even the Holy Spirit tells each one of us this evening, that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And if we, as God's people, do want to get into that eternal life, if we as God's people want to enter into that new Jerusalem, that bride which God has for us, if we as the body of Christ want to go into and enter into that new Jerusalem, probably even we need to enter through the eye of that needle first. Just as a camel has to enter into the eye of the needle. The Dix Bible, I was just reading, my sister has a beautiful Dix Bible, and I was just looking at the Dix Bible. It gives a very nice explanation of Matthew 19:24. And I would read it to you. It says here, it says about a Jewish proverb, that is the camel to go through the eye of a needle. It says here, it is a Jewish proverb commonly used to express great difficulty or impossibility. In the large gates in the city walls were small narrow ones, each called the needle's eye. In the big walled city of Jerusalem were big gates. And in those big gates, which were for people to enter from outside into the city of Jerusalem, there were small gates. And those small gates were known as the eye of the needle. And it says here, in the large gates of the city walls were small narrow ones, each called the needle's eye, through which a camel might enter, kneeling down if he were unloaded. Even today, with each one of us, if we have this question, even after almost, we have quite a number of people of age here. We have lived almost our age. But if we still have this question, how do I get into that eternal life? How do I get into that new Jerusalem, that heavenly abode, through the pearly gates of Jerusalem? How do I get into? I think, and it is a must, that we need to, as the camel, first, if a camel has to go into that narrow gate, he has to be, the thing which needs to be done, number one, is the camel needs to be offloaded. Its burden, whatever the camel is carrying, the load, that load needs to be taken off. And we as children of God, the Lord encourages us, number one, offload, unburden all your load if you are carrying. Even if today we have a load on us. It may be a load of sin. It may be load of troubles all around us. It may be load of maybe some kind of depression which is there upon us. It may be a load of some kind of secret sin which is still there. It may be a load where our family may be having some kind of great difficulty in going through. It may be a load of marriage, or marriage being on the rocks. It could be any kind of load. My dear people, God's people, the Lord encourages us. Today, this Wednesday evening, the Lord encourages us by sending somebody all the way from North India into this beautiful city of Melbourne to tell God's people, unload. If you want to enter into that new Jerusalem, offload all your burden. And only then you can enter into that new Jerusalem. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a beautiful verse. Jesus says, come unto me, all who are heavy laden. If there is any burden, if there is any load which we think is probably we are still carrying, we may be regular churchgoers, but there still may be some load which we may still be carrying. It may even be some kind of sickness or disease we may still be carrying. But I want to encourage you, offload. Jesus says, offload first. We may be following all the commandments, but if there is any load still, only you know that, and I know it for myself. If there is any, offload before you enter into that new Jerusalem. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Yes, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, Jesus cares for us. Cast all your cares on him. He is ready to take all our burdens. The Lord says, cast everything upon me and I will take care of it. Recently, when I was going into Bhutan, which is a closed country for the gospel, I was in India and I had a meeting there. And when I was, it was morning time and the meeting was in the evening. And I got a call from Bhutan saying, brother, there is one person by the name of Mr. Subba who is very, very sick. And he tried to commit suicide just the night earlier. And brother, this gentleman, Mr. Subba, is in great distress. He doesn't want to live anymore. I quickly got dressed and went into Nepal, into Bhutan. And when I went there into Bhutan and coming back, I just had about 20 minutes left for me to catch the train back into for the evening meeting. And in that 20 minutes when I went there and I met Mr. Subba, and Mr. Subba had all kinds of sickness, if you can think of, it was all upon him. His kidneys were gone. His liver was gone. He had hypertension. His everything of his, he could not eat. His appetite was finished. His stomach was all bloated up. He could not breathe properly. He was asthmatic. And poor Mr. Subba did not want to live anymore. He wanted to commit suicide. He took a big knife, which they call a kukri in our language. And he took that kukri, brother one might be knowing from India. And he took that kukri and he tried to kill himself with that big knife. And he couldn't do it because he had no strength in him. In that 20 minutes, I only had just one thing to tell Brother Subba. I said, "Brother, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon Jesus. Because He is a loving God. He's a God," I told him quickly, as soon as I could, about Jesus and how Jesus came, how He suffered, why He came, how He suffered. And in that 20 minutes, in the end, I had to tell him, cast your burden upon Jesus and you'll find peace. Not only peace, you'll find healing in Jesus. Commit everything into His hands. And that evening, my dear brothers and sisters, Mr. Subba he prayed this. He said, "Jesus, I don't know who you are, but this brother comes from India and tells me this. So I just commit everything, whatever I have, all my sickness, all my disease, every problem of mine, I just lay it in your hands." Because I told him, "Jesus is right here. I have come not alone, but I have come with that living God who has come with me. So we are two here. So when Jesus is here, you just give it into His hands." And that evening, Mr. Subba did that. I went away, saying a short prayer, came back to India. And the next morning, I got a call again saying, oh, it was the most excited call I ever got. The person at the other end, Mr. Subba's brother, was shouting and telling, "Brother, my brother is absolutely healed. He is walking around. He is eating. All his physical problem has left. His sickness and disease, Jesus took it away. Because he gave his trouble in the hands of the Lord." My dear people of God, the Lord encourages us even. He says, if you want to enter into that narrow gate, offload all your trouble now here at the cross. Offload it. Give it away. And then, next step, the Lord says, the camel not only has to be offloaded, but then, since the gate is small, the camel needs to kneel down to come to the height of that gate, because the gate is small. And the camel is such a big animal. It has to come down. Dear people of God, even we need to come down on our knees. Just as a camel has to come down on his knees, even we need to come down on our knees. Humble ourselves. Submit ourselves. You must have seen in the television when the ISIS people caught hold of the hostages and when they were trying to behead them. We've seen those photographs of all splashing on the television, where the hostages are kneeling down What is that submission, pure submission into the hands? But the Lord encourages us, we need to kneel down before Him, humble ourselves, commit ourselves, submit ourselves wholeheartedly in all humility in His presence. In prayer, kneeling down in prayer, and being not just in prayer, but being in fellowship with, in all humility, in all submission, being in fellowship with the Word. This Word of God, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, the Word is living, the Word is powerful, and the Word is like a two-edged sword. I'm going to read it out to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart." In Revelation 19, chapter 19, from verse 11 to 13, it talks about a man coming on a white horse, and it all talks about Jesus. And Revelation 19, verse 13 says, "And His name is the Word of God." It talks about Jesus, and it gives a name to Jesus, the Word of God. If we come in all humility, in all submission, in prayer, and in reading and spending time in the Word, I tell you, that is the best time of our lives we can ever have. Spending time with Jesus Himself. When we read the Word, it is Jesus Himself speaking to us through the Word. In central India, there is a place known as Bhopal. Brother knows it. And in that place, there was a small church. And when we were sharing the word in that church, two ladies come walking into the church. And one lady had a lot of cotton in her hand. And she was holding the cotton this way and walking down the aisle of the church. And what we saw shook us. There was blood dripping even through the cotton. That lady had, there was another lady holding her and bringing her to the pulpit. And that lady who was holding that other lady, she told that this lady has got cancer. But she does not have the money for treatment. And that cancerous wound had burst and blood even was dripping out. Those ladies came and stood in front, and we had only one thing to share and to give them. And that was, we said, "We do not have any medicines with us to give you. We are not doctors, but what we can give you is this word." The doctors, the medical reports may say everything extremely negative, but this word which we have in our word, it says, Jesus says, "Surely," Isaiah 53, verse 4, onwards it says, surely, with confidence, in all assurance, the Lord says, surely I have taken all your sickness, all your diseases, everything, if there is anything in you, I have taken it upon myself. And that by my stripes you are healed. The doctor's reports may be so negative, but the report of this word of God is extremely positive. We had a small New Testament in Hindi language, which we gave to that lady saying, sister, take this. Start reading it. Start reading. And I want to tell you that this word is going to set you free. That lady went home. She could not read. She told her little daughter that you read it to me. So the little daughter would come and read those the scriptures to her. She started from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And by the time she finished John, it was almost a whole week. And they came back. And I must tell you, people of God, that lady, after a week, was completely healed. Praise the Lord. She was completely healed. Who did that? Not me. It was the word which is living, the word which is powerful, and the word which is like a two-edged sword. It cut all the cancer away, even without medicine. And it is this word which the Lord encourages in all meekness, in complete surrender, in all submission, the Lord says, spend time. When the Lord word says, we've got to kneel before Him, it means we need to spend time in the Word. Ephesians chapter 3, if we just open quickly, Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14 to 16. There's something very beautiful written there. And while I was praying in 2001, on the 1st of July, I got this beautiful verse from the Lord. And it says here, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might and through His Spirit in the inner man. That is why we need to bow, we need to get down on our knees. And I will quickly finish. And the third thing which the camel needs to do. Number one, offload. Number two, get down on its knees. And number three, it needs to walk on its knees and then get up and start walking in the New Jerusalem. After we offload ourselves to the Lord, after we humble ourselves in all submission, in prayer, and in the Word, the third and the last thing which we need to do is we need to walk through that narrow gate. Walk through that narrow gate. Matthew 7 and 13 and 14, there's a very beautiful description of that narrow gate. Matthew chapter 7. 13 and 14 says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Yes. When the camel has to walk on its knees, you know, the weakest part of a camel is its knees. That's the weakest part of a camel. And if a camel has to walk on its knees, it would bruise its knees probably. It would bleed its knees. Difficult is the way. Walking through the narrow gate. But the Lord encourages us. We need to enter into that narrow gate. Even if it means pain and suffering. We in North India, in Bhutan, in Nepal, in Bangladesh, there is so much of suffering even to reach out to people with the gospel. But the Lord says, if we want to enter into that eternal abode, into that eternal life, into the pearly gates of the New Jerusalem, difficult is the way. It may be difficult for us at times. There may be a lot of ups and downs in our lives. There may be times when we may be deep and find ourselves in the deepest of pits. But I must encourage you, dear friends, that Jesus is our Jehovah Nissi. God is our Jehovah Nissi. He says, I will lift you up. I am your banner. Walk into that narrow gate. And the Lord says, not just walking, but he's given us something to do. Walking means, when Jesus was ascending into heaven, he called his disciples and he told them something. Matthew chapter 28. He gave them a command. And that command is there for all of us. Not just for us who are, not just with Pastor Timothy, not just with me, but it's for each one of us when the Lord says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go. The Lord commands us. If we need to enter, and if we want to, and we have to, enter into that narrow gate and do what God tells us. Before you enter into that New Jerusalem, the Lord speaks one thing. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. As the church, I would encourage you, be a part of the mission team to go and reach out to people who need Jesus. And then when we go there, and when we reach out, when we are partaker, when we are shareholder of God's command, the Lord says, I will give you that eternal life which Jesus said, I came to give you. I came to give you life, and life in abundance. Revelation chapter 22, and I would end. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14 says something extremely beautiful. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. That's almost the fag end of the Word of God. And the Lord says here, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gates into the city." If you want to enter into that new Jerusalem, into that eternal abode with Jesus Himself, these are the three things which we need to do. Come in submission unto the Lord. Offload all our burdens unto Him. Get down up on our knees. That's what the Lord wants. To come down on our knees. In complete surrender. In complete submission unto Him. And then the Lord says, "Walk the way I want. Do my commands." That's what Revelations 22:14 says. Do my commands. And then you will enter into that newness of life, into that eternal abode which God has kept for each one of us. Let us pray. Even as we look to the Lord in prayer, let us come up and submit our lives into His hand. We commit and we submit our bodies, our souls, and our spirits in your hands. Do not take us. Make us worthy, Lord, that we may enter into that eternal abode, into that new Jerusalem, which you have prepared for us. Cleanse us, dear Lord. Forgive us and make us new in you. Holy Spirit, I pray. You lead us and you guide us. And Lord, you bless each one of us abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. And thank you for your word which you gave to us this evening. In Jesus' precious and most holy name, I ask this prayer.
You want to lead us in